Bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you again, asking you, Lord, to help our hearts and minds to be open and receptive to your holy word. And help us, O Lord, to realize that you have come once and are coming again, that we will serve you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture for today is found in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 43. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke 24, beginning at verse 36. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We can serve God because he lives. And because he lives, we should want to live also. And there is so much truth and such a great prayer in that last song you sang. And it's wonderful to know that Christ lives, and he lives in our heart and in our lives. And as Christians, if we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, and having him first in all that we do, we would see that he lives within us in all that we do. We see here that Jesus came to his disciples, and they were in an upper room, or in a room anyhow, and they were there all except Thomas. And when he came in, they thought they'd seen a spirit because he'd come right through the doors that were closed, and they felt it was a ghost. And he says, "I am not a spirit in and of itself. I have flesh and blood, or I have flesh just and bones just like you do." And he is immortal from that time that he raised on and onto forever. And when we die and are raised again at that first resurrection, our bodies will also be immortal, and we will be in a position where our bodies will never die. So we see this is the new way in which our bodies will be. Our sinful bodies will be gone, or the physical body we have of today, it will have been changed in such a way, Paul tells us, and we may not know how that is changed, but it will be changed in such a way to go to God's glorified body. And Jesus says, "I will write on you my new Jerusalem. I will write on you my new name and your new name." And so we see these things coming, and we should want to make sure our hearts and our lives are the same as Jesus's, and that he is the one that's first in all of our lives. Why did Jesus come to show the disciples who he was? I think he not only had to show them and make them realize that he had risen from the dead, but he wanted them to see the nail prints in his hands and his feet and the spear that had hit his side that had not broken any bones. And to do this, he had to show them that it was him and him alone risen from the dead, that it was nobody else. And even though Peter and John had ran to the tomb on that Easter morning, and it says John believed, but it didn't say Peter did, and yet we see that Jesus had talked or met Peter sometime during that first day as we read the different scriptures. We see also that Jesus wants them to know he is risen and that he is sending them out as his witnesses, starting at Jerusalem and throughout the whole world, is the commission that he gave them. And that those who believe in the name of Jesus Christ would be saved. And that as they trust in him, they would have the Holy Spirit entered into them. And the Holy Spirit then will teach us as Christians the truth. And they will help us to go the way that God wants us to go. We also see that Jesus told them before he died, and even later he says, remember, I have spoken unto you that God sent him into the world to be the sacrifice for our sin, and that he died for the sins that was past, present, and future. And those future sins are the ones that we have committed and the ones that we will commit until the day we're called home. Yes, we are called sinless when we have Christ with us, because if we purposely sin, we want repentance, and our conscience should bother us to the point that we know we have sinned, and we would drive us to the cross of Christ, asking him for repentance of sin and asking him to renew his spirit within us, that we would be able to worship him and him alone. And he wanted the disciples then to see that it was him and him alone that was raised. And as he had told the Pharisees and Sadducees, he says, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And they realized when he was crucified that they went to Pilate and they wanted to seal the tomb and put soldiers there, because they said he said he would raise again in 3 days. So even though they wouldn't admit it, they knew that he was the Son of God and that he had power that they didn't have and they wouldn't admit or accept as the Holy One from God that was sent to earth to die for our sin. So when the disciples seen this, we see that the disciples were willing to go out and give their lives for Jesus Christ. And the word comes to us. Are you willing to give your all for Jesus? Are you willing to take your cross up and deny yourself every day and have Christ first in all that you say or do? That people will see you, as Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, even he says, let your light so shine before men that people will see your good work and glorify God who is in heaven. He gets all the glory because he is the one that took us, and in our sinful state, he demonstrated his love to us, and that Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. And when it means there is that many of us and many of the people of that day even had not accepted Christ as the Son of God. And as we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, we will see that we are washed clean, that the Holy Spirit enters us, and that the veil that has been over our heart and our mind is lifted, so that as we read the Scripture and as we pray to Christ, we will see the newness of life, and we can see the newness of what's in the Scripture day by day. And we will want to follow him, that we will want to do his will. And yes, he has told us that Satan will do all kinds of temptations against us, and he will bring all kinds of accusations against us. And he says, you will suffer for my name's sake. But if you're willing to suffer, and if you're willing to die for my name's sake, praise God, your name is written in heaven in the book of life, and you will be in my temple serving me all the days of your life in eternity. And we would see then that this life is but a short span in which we live, because eternity is forever. And when, as we sing many times, we sing in 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing God's praise because it's forever and forever. You see, even when Jeremiah, before he was born, God says, I knew you, and I had all of your everything about you written in my book, even before you were conceived. And he told Jeremiah, as you know, he's called the weeping prophet. And he came into the world, and he felt he was too young to speak, and God told him, go out and speak. I will speak through you. And as we read in Acts, that the people of that day took and crucified Christ. They did not crucify him on their own will necessarily, because Christ says, I lay down my life for you so that I can take it up again. And I have given that sacrifice that God requires for your sin. And he took the sins of the whole world upon himself on the cross. Yet, he says in the Lord's Supper, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he says, this is for the remission of sins for many. And why didn't he say for everybody? Because there are many people who will not accept Jesus as the personal Son of God, and they will not accept him as their personal Lord and Savior. Christ can only forgive the sins of those who are willing to follow him. Those who reject him and who do not want anything to do with him will retain their sins upon themselves. And it tells us in Scripture that they are already condemned because they do not believe on the Son of God, and that they do not believe that God came into the world through Jesus Christ, the second part of the Trinity, to die for our sins. He was that perfect Lamb who was crucified on the cross and shed his blood for you and for me. You know, Gallup Pew poll, it's something like the Gallup poll. They took a survey, and they usually take it of college kids. And they normally have around 2,000 of them. And they said, we want to ask you a question. And you claim to be Christians, and most of them said yes. They are considered themselves Christians. So they asked them, they said, do you believe that abortion is something that a woman should have the right to do? And 54% of them said no. Now, we want to remember that 54%. They felt that the fetus inside of the womb was a human being. It had the Spirit of God in it. And they felt that this was a living person just like you and I, except it hadn't been born in and of itself. And yet, they turned around and they asked the next question, do you think that that woman with that fetus, the calling it a fetus instead of a human being, has the right for abortion? And of those 54%, 27% said yes. They were saying, we believe that woman is carrying a human being with the Spirit of God in it, but yet they have the right to do away with that life. And we see these signs coming upon many places, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. There was a woman who is having a drive against abortion, and she was 25 weeks old, and it's been a while since my wife was pregnant and we had kids, so I have to stop and figure this out, that I was about 6 months old, or 6 months along, I should say. Would that be second trimester? I don't know, something like that. Anyway, she had this baby, this woman had this baby unannounced. She said her water broke, and this 25-week-old child was born. It was complete in everything except its weight. And this woman, now she's graduated from college. That at that time, she was born at 25 weeks, and she is trying to spread the word that you are a living soul immediately upon conception, and no one has a right to do away with that soul. And if we do, we are doing what we are against, which is murder in many instances, and yet we call it by different names. It's a sign of the things that's coming before Christ returns. And Christ then wanted to show his disciples and get them so they were confident that he was the Christ, the one that was crucified, that was rose again, and the one that was sending them out to proclaim the word of God and the love of God towards all men, that he could forgive their sins if they were willing to turn to him, and that by willing to turn to him, they could have eternal life. But at the same time, they are to take and show the people what happens if they don't follow Christ. And every one of the disciples was willing to give their lives for Jesus. Are we willing to take up our cross daily and follow him regardless of what happens to our lives? Are we saying, Lord Jesus, I am your servant. Use me in the way that will glorify you in all things. And yet so many times we have to say we have sinned against God, and we don't sometimes don't see it as sin, and yet we don't come to him and ask him for forgiveness of sins and to lead us and guide us. And we don't realize that the scripture has been given to us that we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free, that the truth will help us to grow, that we will be fed that eternal manna, that holy manna of God, and the water that we would never thirst again. And we see this so much in life today because we want to excuse ourselves and we want to take and think we're okay. And yet we refuse to turn to Christ and to have him be our Lord and Savior number one in our lives. It reminds me of a man, he's dead now, but about 60-some years ago, he was in Korea, and he says, Lord, help me, because they were being overrun. And he says, if you get me out of this hole and in one piece, I will serve you, and I'll do everything you want me to do. And he told me, when he was telling me about it, he says, if I had reached out my hands, I think I could have tripped the soldiers as they come by. He told me later, he says, I think they might have been a little further apart than that, but it seemed that close. But he says, when I prayed, he says, a sudden snowstorm came. And he says, it was so sudden, and it was so thick, you couldn't see anything. And then when the communists and the Chinese realized that the Americans was behind them, they had walked right through their ranks, and they were behind them. They turned around and started their warfare. And he said one of his men was wounded, and the man told him, leave me alone and just get you out of here. And he says, we told them we never leave one of our own behind. And they got back to friendly lines and friendly fire, and they were not injured dramatically outside of the one. And he said it was about 10 or 12 years later, he was visiting me, and he was reading every religious periodical he could find in my house. And as he read these, and he was reading them from cover to cover, and then him and I were out driving, and he says, Irvin, he says, do you believe that the Bible is true? And I says, the Bible is the infallible word of God. It is all true. There is no error in it. And he says, don't you think there could be a misprint or something in it there may be something that isn't quite right. And I said, no, I believe it's 100% the Word of God. And I didn't see him for maybe 6 months. And he gave his life to the Lord. And he says, God had come back to him and says, do you remember when back here you told me you would do anything I wanted you to do if I got you out of this? And I took you out through this. And so he gave his life to the Lord. And he served him then for about 20 years before his own health failed him and he was called home. And the reason why I know this story is true, the man was one of my brothers that served over there. And he said, you know, when you make a covenant with God, even if you do it in a hasty manner like that as a sinner, God remembers that covenant. And he will bring it back to you. And he will remind you of what you said. And he will ask you, did you mean it? Or are you breaking this covenant with me? You see, God says, I sent you my son Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. And you can have eternal life by accepting him and having him live in your life, and that your light would so shine that people would see you, your work, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this is what Jesus was trying to do here, is to make these disciples understand he was risen from the dead. And as they went out, they gave their lives for him. And they gave up as martyrs. Every one of them was killed except John himself. And he was sent to Patmos. And he wrote the book of Revelation. And in writing that book, it tells us of the things that's going to come upon the world. And it gives us many things that we can look to the signs of what's going to happen. And we can know that the nearness of God is at hand. And we can know that he is coming again. Let us turn our hearts to him and make sure we're walking with him today. And if we need any help from any clergy or at the altar, feel free to come and do it. Do not be ashamed to make sure God is in your life, because he's the one that died for us. And he died on the cross in the most shameful way a person could die, for you and for me. Lord, I pray that you would be with us and help us as we go forward through this time, that we would realize, even, O Lord, in communion, that you have given your life for us and that you shed your blood for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 118.